Hello and welcome everyone. Thanks for coming. And I also want to acknowledge in the room Melissa Withers and Brittany Bloom, two of my collaborators. This work was funded by the Blue Shield Foundation of California, and our health center collaborators were St. John's Well Child and Family Centers, in mostly in South and Central Los Angeles. We have no relationships to disclose. So first, I'm sure most of you are familiar with this, but just to go through it very quickly, domestic violence is a problem in the United States as it is globally. It's sometimes referred to as intimate partner violence. It's a pattern of controlling behaviors in which a partner is trying to get power over another, and it can include physical violence, but also the threat of physical violence. Emotional or mental abuse, sexual abuse. So that's important for us to remember. It's not just physical. Secondly, that 85% of the victims are women. And in the course of their lives, about a third of women in this country will experience intimate partner violence. But only 25% of the physical assaults, and we're not even talking about the emotional and mental and so on, only 25% are ever reported to police. So all of that sort of sets the background to this presentation today. Oh, and lastly, of course, it's also, in this country, it's the leading cause of injury to women. And it's more than all of those other things listed combined. So that sets the backdrop that this is a very important problem. And as a result, major organizations in the United States recommend that women, female patients who come in just for any kind of routine care, primary care, what have you, that they be screened for domestic violence. And why is that? Why is that recommended? Well, first, it's because clinicians are generally considered credible and trustworthy by patients. This is a group of people who a patient may be more inclined to say something to than maybe someone else who she might think has a vested interest or a conflict of interest or whatever. Also, the exam room can be a private and safe space. It isn't always, because sometimes the abuser might insist on coming into the room and providers might allow that, but it's intended to be a private safe space to talk about something very personal. Thirdly, that some people who are experiencing domestic violence, particularly in some of our ethnic communities, may find it a source of great embarrassment and shame or even fear. And so screening, in other words, direct questioning of these women, might help them to reveal something that's taking place or a threat of physical violence before it gets out of hand, something that's happening in their lives. So that's why I think these organizations very much recommend it as a public health recommendation, because it's possible before these problems become very injurious to the woman or, of course, life-threatening, because we do know that women die of domestic violence. And so she's here in the exam room. This is a moment of possible intervention. And so that's why I think also it's considered something important. It could save lives and save injury, and in that way also save money. So it even makes sense monetarily. It's cost-effective. Yet, at the same time, we know that few clinicians actually do screen on a regular basis. So what's going on? Well, first of all, many clinicians don't feel particularly comfortable with this subject. It's a kind of messy subject, and you know, it's not necessarily something that you had much training in medical school or in nursing school. Maybe you had a session on it, but it just doesn't seem something that you're very comfortable with. Also, you could worry that screening becomes a time sink. In other words, that once you open this little door, she'll talk endlessly about all sorts of problems and issues and so on and so forth. So don't even open the little door. Third is that there is a fear, whether it's warranted or not, that it could lead to emotional outbursts. So women start crying and complaining and so on. And again, you've got a limited amount of time. Do you want to open that door, start all that? Let's just deal with what she came for, because it's almost never the first thing that she came for is probably not domestic violence. Also, many clinicians don't know the available resources or services in their locality. They don't even know a hotline number. as to what to do if you have this happening in your clinic. If you have an in-house social worker, you can refer, and so that may make you more likely to do it. But if you don't have that, you know, again, they don't often seek out and find out this information. And lastly, there's a number of them that don't really think that's of any particular value. Like if she's experiencing a problem, she won't just necessarily reveal it, or if she will go herself and find the resources. So they have a lot of reasons, and or some might call excuses, for not doing this kind of screening, even though it's now urged even through the Affordable Care Act, and it's supposed to be covered by all insurance for women, so on. So that leads us to the goals of this, what we call Videos Against Violence project. And our main goal was to start with to encourage women, including immigrant women, women who don't speak English or low literate or broken English, to divulge domestic violence or trafficking to their primary care provider. Because even though trafficking is very rare, actually, the grand scheme of things, again, this is a moment. And in fact, some studies suggest that virtually all women who've been trafficked at some point or another show up at a clinic. So you have this moment. You have a moment to help her or someone experiencing domestic violence. It's also, our goal was to create a time in the exam room for some patient reflection and contemplation. Here you're sitting there, you know, this is, you know, your life is busy and convoluted. There's a moment in this exam room, just sitting waiting. Maybe it could be used a little bit more productively. And also our goal was to give an easier conversational entry point for providers to discuss domestic violence and or trafficking, because we have made it like easy for those who feel a little uncomfortable about it. That was another goal. And lastly, also to train providers in how to assist these women to access services and resources, to even know what's available. So those are our main goals. So project components. So the first thing that we did is that in Los Angeles, at least, most clinics now, or many, have electronic medical records. They're hooked up to the internet, et cetera. So why not make better use of the fact that this exists? So the idea was to create a website with what we call trusted friend videos. So in other words, they're not videos of like doctors talking to women, but it's just like somebody who looks like yourself. So a trusted friend of a female survivor of domestic violence or trafficking, or if we had difficulty finding survivors, then we might use actresses. But the idea was that somebody could sort of share their story with you in that exam room and help you to reflect and think, like, should I reveal? Should I talk to my doctor? So we used formative research to develop the scripts, and Dr. Withers will be having a presentation about this tomorrow at 10:30 if this interests you, and you'll hear a lot more about that. All the videos were, we created them that they were to be 3 minutes or less, because we know that there are concerns about patient flow, but people really do sit there for at least 3 minutes. So the idea was keep it tight, keep it, you know, short, so that people can watch it. We had multiple ethnicities in English. So we had, for instance, an African-American, a Caucasian, Asian-American, all speaking their own stories in English, though. So you could click on any of those that might appeal to you. But we also had multiple languages going on as well. Then we had hoped to use the computers that are already in exam rooms, but there are some difficulties with that, HIPAA concerns, and so on. So instead, we purchased and installed handheld tablets, and I'll show you that in just a moment, to view videos in the exam rooms. We could track the actual use of the website via Google Analytics, and we could give reports, feedback to clinics about how they were doing, and we'll show you that in a moment. We also developed small pocket cards that are just the size of a business card and essentially gave the hotline information that's available in California and then in multiple languages, I think about 6 or 8. And I'm not going to really focus on that for this presentation. We also developed a source book for each participating facility, which lists again all the resources and so on, and it was in a binder form so things could be added and whatever. And lastly, we did training of providers. So this is the website that we developed. It's www.healthywoman.org. And there you can see different women that you could just click on and then listen to what they had to say. And actually, this is a live website. Anyone in this room, if you're curious, you can do it yourself. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on one. So if you clicked on Korean woman there, it has English subtitles as well. So if you were a deaf person, you also could get this information. And so we're actually going to quickly watch one of these. Okay, here we go. So that gives you an example of one of the videos, and as you can see, when we had to do it several times, concentrate the story in her own words, but what's important in her culture, and some of those issues about her child and so on. So here it shows one of the facilities that we worked in, and you can see there is the small handhold that you can just sit on this couch and you just hold it and just watch it right there. And if there's more time, you can click on other things on the website, and there's resources there, there's hotline information, etc. But it's just all right in front of you. So our study design was then to collect aggregate domestic violence patient data before the intervention started, as well as afterwards, both in intervention and in some comparison clinics. Then we launched the intervention August-September of 2013 and had it run for about 6 months. Then we did this monthly monitoring, and then we did some N-line survey. We also done a baseline, but I'm going to just focus on N-line. So just wanted to help you appreciate, this looks kind of simple, huge challenges. Okay, so first, in these kind of facilities, there is considerable turnover of management, providers, contract employees. So you do a training, and then a lot of them move on, and so on. So there's a real lack of continuity and commitment. So in this project, in the course of that short period, about 18 months, we actually had 5 different project managers, as it were, from the St. John's side. So just to help you appreciate how difficult this was. Secondly, technical problems. So those launches would get delayed, there are problems of connectivity, the IT people would delay and not come out for 3 weeks, and you know, et cetera. Then they would have some internal firewall and they wouldn't delete it, and you know, et cetera. So these, and interestingly, if you thought, okay, we've sorted that out, and then they would reappear, you know, a month or two later. Also, you did have some of those tablets walking away. We did have a security cable on them, but as I heard later, people said, you know, it's not just patients, but staff were tempted by those tablets. And so even though it had security cords, also those little ones have to be recharged at night, just like your cell phone, and who's going to remember to do it? So we had that issue. And then we have just the management, you know, even if they never actually viewed it, they would sit up, you know, in their headquarters and say, oh no, this is going to be disruptive. So they wouldn't encourage it. It's like, if you have time, if you can do it. Okay, so just want to give you a backdrop. It's a tough one, okay. So this is how, these are the kind of charts that you get. These are, each line shows a different facility. The blue at the top is all of them together, so just the ones we are working in. And this is also, just want to show you this. Let me see if I can just quickly, the little arrow will help, yes. So this is different IP addresses. You've got to figure out which one is associated with which facility, and then the Google Nexus is an Android, so then we knew who was doing it. And then you can actually see over here how many pages they looked at and the average session duration. So as you can see, it could be 6 minutes or 4 minutes or 5 minutes or 3 minutes would be the average duration. So there is time to sit and watch these things. Okay, so now the outcomes. Okay, so first that website use. So over the 6 months, even with all those challenges, there were in those 4 facilities, and one of them was only online for 2 months of that period, 2,150 users. It's a small part of the total female visits to the facilities, which is 24,000, but at the same time, some of those are repeat visits, some of those are older women who don't want to be bothered, you know, and others. So maybe 1 in 4 women actually viewed it. We don't know for sure. And then we talked about the average time, the average number. So per any particular workday, it was like 0 to 62 hits on that website. And the videos that were most frequently watched matched the patient population. So for instance, Elena, the Spanish person, I didn't show you today because we don't have subtitles, that was watched by about half. The African-American woman, about 19%. Our actress, Beth, in the audience, she was watched 14% of the time. So anyway, so just so you know, we can also track that. We can know, you know, which ones they're watching and so on. So did it change domestic violence reports? Now, first off, you have to remember that, okay, I've got 1 minute left, but that domestic violence reports are fairly infrequent. So only 41 total out of, in the first 8 months, about 5.1 per month in the intervention, and then you can see for the comparison, during the project, it didn't change much per month. You see, it was just to 5.3, though the comparison went down all the way to 0, so nothing was being reported. Imagine, 0 in 6 months in 5 clinics, 0. Okay, so that indicates something's up. But why do we think still, even with this problem, it could work? And that's because we did get some online survey results. So did the videos make it easier to screen for domestic violence? Yes, definitely, 50%. Because you can just walk in and say, hey, did you see a video? Yes. Is there anything you want to talk to me about? No? Let's move on. Okay? And you've screened. So it's that easy, right? So yes, somewhat, 16%. So don't know, 33%. So that's kind of important. Did it disrupt the workflow that the, you know, management thought? Very much, no. Somewhat, 33%, a little, 16%. You know, that wasn't what was really going on. On the other hand, did you ever watch a video? Did you ever watch, take 3 minutes out of your workday or at home and watch one? Only 16%. Did you participate in the training? Only a third. You know, that shows the turnover. Should the clinic keep showing them? you know, 33% definitely, 16, you know, occasionally, 16% no, some don't know. So kind of a mixed bag. But the yeses are about half. So what are our final recommendations? So first, that you've got to, if you want to launch this, and the website's up, if you wanted to launch it, you could do it. But you've got to ensure you've got a champion in the management. You've got to have somebody who says, we like this, let's do it. It's not so hard for us. Okay. Secondly, it'd be good to standardize and make sure that that screening really is quick and easy for people, and even the recording is easy. And also, before you even launch it, make sure you've got your connectivity. Make sure the firewalls aren't there. You know, that's kind of straightforward. Also, we would think that you can now do wall-mounted. You know, they are getting so, so cheap now. You could just mount to the wall, plug it in. It's like a little TV set on the wall. We don't think it would walk away. It'd be hard, right? And lastly, we would recommend that there be some random checks. Like, when women are walking out, oh, hello, did the program talk to you about domestic violence? If not, let's, you know, revisit this. So it's not so hard. Thanks.